Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and on our 977th day together in the Word of God, we come to Ezekiel chapter 18. Very important chapter for understanding covenantal theology and the theology of salvation and sin properly. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us, for giving us life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for calling us to follow you. Thank you for blessing us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Father, please help us to understand, to receive, and to apply Ezekiel 18 to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ezekiel 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. If a man is righteous and does what is just and right, if he does not eat upon the mountain or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, does not defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman in her time of menstrual impurity, does not oppress anyone, but restores to the debtor his pledge, commits no robbery, gives his bread to the hungry, and covers the naked with a garment, does not lend at interest or take any profit, withholds his hand from injustice, executes true justice between man and man, walks in my statutes, and keeps my rules by acting faithfully, he is righteous. He shall surely live, declares the Lord God. If he fathers a son who is violent, a shedder of blood, who does any of these things, though he himself did none of these things, who even eats upon the mountains, defiles his neighbor's wife, oppresses the poor and needy, commits robbery, does not restore the pledge, lifts up his eyes to the idols, commits abomination, lends at interest and takes profit, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon himself. Now, suppose this man fathers a son who sees all the sins that his father has done, he sees, and does not do likewise. He does not eat upon the mountains or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, does not defile his neighbor's wife, does not oppress anyone, exacts no pledge, commits no robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with a garment, withholds his hand from iniquity, takes no interest or profit, obeys my rules and walks in my statutes, he shall not die for his father's iniquity, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he has practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Yet you say, why should not the son suffer for the iniquity of the father? When the son has done what is just and right, and has been careful to observe all my statutes, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked person turns away from all his sins that he has committed, and keeps all my statutes, and does what is just and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgression that he has committed shall be remembered against him, for the righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God? and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? But when a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice and does the same abominations that the wicked person does, shall he live? None of the righteous deeds that he has done shall be remembered, for the treachery of which he is guilty and the sin he has committed, for them he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one of you according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. That is Ezekiel 18. Now, this chapter is really important, but it's also important that we deal with it carefully and that we set it within the context of the rest of Scripture. God is stating here a very important truth, and that is that justice is righteous. Okay, God is just and God is righteous. The foundations of the throne of the Lord are righteousness and justice. In God's justice, he holds people accountable for their own sin. It says repeatedly, the soul that sins will surely die. Now, there's a common misconception among Christians regarding the Old Covenant and regarding Israel, because God said in the Ten Commandments that he's a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him, that means that if a father sins, his son and his grandson will be punished for his sin. That's how people interpret visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. But here God is saying that's not what he means. That's not what he ever meant. The principle of visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation is a principle that very often when a father sets a pattern of sin in his home, he passes that on to his son. And his son passes that on to his son. So if the father is an alcoholic or an idolater, he very often raises a son who is an alcoholic and an idolater. And he very often raises a son who is an alcoholic or an idolater. This is generational patterns of sin, and they're real. However, God does not punish people for other people's sins, except when God himself came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ and willingly took upon himself the punishment for the guilt of all of the sins of all of God's people for all time. Because there's another thing here in this chapter, and that is, if you're in a pattern of sinning, you're committing idolatry, you're committing sexual immorality, you're committing injustice, you're robbing the poor, but you come to your senses and you repent and you turn and you seek the Lord, you will live. But wait a minute, what about all that sin that you did? The soul that sins will surely die. You did sin. Why aren't you dying? Just because you turned from it, why should you live? You did it. You were guilty of it. That's because there is forgiveness with God. Forgiveness that is ultimately paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross when he became sin for us and he took upon our sins upon himself, and he bore the punishment, and he died. We sinned, and he surely died for our sins. But we have to trust him. We have to believe in him. And the fruit that we trust him and that we believe in him is that we will live lives that are pleasing to him, that are in keeping with his will, that we will live lives of increasing righteousness. In other words, we will walk in the ways that he walked if we love him, if we believe him. Is that going to mean we're going to be sinless? No, but these patterns of sin, of open idolatry and gross injustice and greed and selfishness, these are not patterns of sin that are in keeping with someone who has true and saving faith, who has a new heart. Another way to misunderstand this chapter is to think that it's basically teaching us works righteousness, works-based righteousness, works-based salvation, that if you work for it, you'll earn it. No, that's not what God is saying here. God is saying that he is just, and he will punish. So salvation in God's economy, in the rest of Scripture, we know that in God's dealing with his people, salvation has always been by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, that would be the promises of God that you trust in that are later fulfilled in Christ. But it's still salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in the promises of God as those promises are fulfilled in Christ. But the fruit of that faith is a changed life. It's not easy believism. It's not mere intellectual assent. It's not saying, oh, yeah, I'd like to be forgiven and go to heaven when I die, so yeah, I'll say I agree with that. That's not faith. Faith is a trusting in, faith is a relying upon, faith is a resting in the work of Christ for our salvation. And it does involve a new heart and a new life. It involves being born again. So you see, at the end, God says to his people toward the end of this chapter, verse 30-31, repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you've committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. How can they do that? Well, they can't. But God's already promised in Ezekiel 11 that he will, and God will promise it again. Ezekiel 36 is going to come back again. God's going to do it. You see, in the Old Testament, God said, circumcise your hearts, which means have a new heart. It's a call, it's a command, but it's a command that ultimately we are unable to fulfill on our own. We need God to do that work for us. Only God can take out a heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. That's what we ultimately need. But if we have that heart of flesh, it will beat for the righteousness of God. It doesn't mean we'll be sinlessly perfect, but we will earnestly desire to love the Lord and to love our neighbors. And these gross patterns of sin will not be characteristic of our lives the way they would be if we were unbelievers. So, how do we apply this? We need to take sin seriously. We need to understand that God is the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He deals with his people in the same. He's just. He's always just. There's no salvation by ethnicity. There's no salvation by birth. You don't get to heaven because you're born Jewish in the Old Testament or the New Testament, or because you're merely circumcised in the flesh in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's always required true and saving faith, a new heart, and a new life, which is ultimately the work of God's grace through the Holy Spirit, and ultimately your sins have to be paid for by Jesus on the cross. So when we bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there's a covenantal continuity in how God works. God blesses, because the same God who said he's going to visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation said he's going to show steadfast love to thousands of generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. He's the God of our fathers. He's our God. He's the God of our children if we're walking with the Lord. Now, is that a guarantee? No, because Ezekiel 18 says you could have a godly father and a disobedient son, or you could have a disobedient father and a godly son. And ultimately, each person is going to be judged on their own basis. On their own basis. But there are still covenantal patterns that hold true in both the Old and New Testament. So it gives us encouragement and comfort as we seek to raise our children in the Lord. But it also gives us a sober warning not to take anything for granted, not to presume upon the grace of God. And it also helps us understand that God is not operating on a different basis in the Old Testament than the New. He's always righteous and he's always just. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being faithful, holy, righteous, just. Thank you for Jesus. The only just way for you to forgive our sins is for Jesus to take them on himself willingly, and he did so. And that's our salvation. That's our hope. And so we thank you for Jesus. Pray that you would strengthen our faith in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that is Ezekiel 18. Tomorrow we're going back to the book of Revelation, getting close to the end of Revelation 19 tomorrow. Hope you can join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.